Friends, here's the question that wins a 100-pound bag of Full of Pep Chick Starter from Mrs. Guy Clark of Claremont, Georgia, who buys the Full of Pep feeds from the Martin Feed and Poultry Company in Gainesville, Georgia. Mrs. Clark writes that she's heard that you can hold a paper bag containing water over a moderate flame and that the water will actually begin to boil before the paper bag will begin to burn. She says, ask the folks at the Full of Pep farm if they've ever seen this tried. And then she adds here, surely Mrs. Brown must have. She's seen so much. How about Ms. Brown? Have you ever seen water held in a paper bag over flames?
No, I haven't.
Think it would work?
If she says so, I don't doubt her word.
You'll believe her? Has anybody here ever tried that at all? Any of you gentlemen here in the crowd, did you ever see that experiment tried at all, sir?
Never did.
You think that would work?
Might.
The water might keep the paper bag from burning, but would it keep it from burning long enough so that the water would begin to boil? Have you seen it, sir?
No, sir, I haven't.
What's your opinion? You think
well, probably would.
Mrs. Brown, I wonder if you'd try it.
Yes, I will. I think it was about a year ago a lady wrote in and she said, take the teakettle of boiling water off the stove. You could touch your hand to it, and I tried that, and you could.
Yes.
And I'll try this. She didn't say how much water, did she?
No, just a paper bag. She says if you have a paper bag and if you fill it with water, that is just a bag full of water.
A whole bag full of water.
Well, the idea is the water keeps the temperature of the paper down, and in the meantime, the fire raises the temperature of the water up. Now, she says that she's heard, this is Mrs. Guy Clark of Claremont, Georgia, that you can hold the paper bag filled with water over a flame, over a low flame or a high flame, she doesn't say here, she says a moderate flame. Take it back. She says a moderate flame, and the water will begin to boil before the paper bag begins to burn. Will you try it for
yes,
us?
Yes, I will, and my maiden name was Clark.
Your maiden name was Clark.
This is
Mrs. Guy Clark. Maybe you're a relative of her husband.
Maybe she'll write to me and we'll find out.
All right. Mrs. Brown, anyway, let me ask you this. Did you find out anything about those hot dogs yet?
No, I didn't. I still don't know. My family don't like them.
Well, I liked them, but I said, did you find out whether or not how they got their name? How they got the name of hot dogs?
No, I didn't find it out.
Well, now, you know, we asked the little boy here at the farm the other Saturday. Is he here today? Yes, here he is over here. His name was Hawk, Owen Hawk. Right, Owen? Owen, did you find out anything about hot dogs?
Yes, I did, Chuck.
Did you go over to the library?
Yeah.
Tell the folks how old you are again.
13.
13 years old. My, he's got a card here with all kinds of notes on it. What have you got on there, Owen?
Well, it's just my notes on
Say, you're quite a student, aren't you? Some of the folks were wondering, how come you're so smart? After the broadcast last week, they said, how come that Owen's so smart? You make good grades in school?
Oh, fair.
Just fair, huh?
Yeah. Ask Jerry here. He's my classmate.
Are you a classmate of his, Jerry?
Yes, I
What's
am.
Your name, sir?
Jerry Spanish.
Jerry Spanish. Is Owen here pretty smart?
Yes, he is.
He is?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What's he particularly smart in?
Everything.
Hot dogs?
Everything.
I hope so. Let's see what you found out here, Owen.
Well, in the early 1900s, they used to be called Dachshund sausages because of their size and shape.
Oh, like those little dogs that are half a dog high and three dogs long?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
They call them Dachshund sausages.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Henry M. Stevens,
yes?
The concessionaire at the Polo Grounds, that's the New York Giants,
yes?
Baseball team park,
yes?
Was losing money on this cold day.
Yes.
Because the people wouldn't buy his cold pop.
Yeah.
And ice cream. So he sent his boys out to get the Dachshund sausages.
Yeah.
And he boiled them and put them in these long rolls.
Yeah.
And he told the boys to call out that they were red hot.
Yes.
And the people bought them because they were so cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then a sports cartoonist.
He bought them because they were so cold.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Sometimes at the ballpark, they are pretty cold. You know, they call out red hots, but they're pretty...
What I mean is the weather was cold.
Oh, the weather... They bought them because the weather was so cold. Oh, excuse me. Yes, go ahead. Excuse me.
And a sports cartoonist in the press box saw his opportunity to coin a phrase.
Yes.
So he called them hot dogs.
Call them hot dogs because they were Dachshund sausages.
Yeah.
And they called them red hots when they sold them, so some sports writer combined the two and called them hot dogs.
Yeah.
And they originally were called Dachshund sausages because they were so long, like a Dachshund dog is real long. Is that it?
Yes, that's
so
it.
So you really did some investigating, didn't you? Where did you happen to find that? An encyclopedia?
No, it was in an old magazine.
Well, how did you know how to find that old magazine that would have that information in it?
A librarian up at the library.
She helped you out, is it?
She looked in a reader's guide under Frankfurters, and there was this article.
Uh-huh. And in the article, you found all that information?
Yeah.
My goodness, he certainly deserves a hand for really getting all that, doesn't he? Go ahead, Owen, take a bow. Come on, take a bow. That's right. There you are. Oh, I'm telling you. Owen, what does your father do for a living?
Well, he designs transformers.
He designs transformers?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And do you know quite a bit about electricity, too?
Not too much.
Not too much. But you certainly know all you want to know about hot dogs now, don't you?
Yes, I guess so.
Well, thank you very much. We're sure glad that you could find that information. We've been wondering how hot dogs got their name, and now we know. Folks, we have to talk for a moment today about filling up that oil tank. Remember Mrs. Albert Palpke? Say, Owen, you're just the guy for it. Listen, Mrs. Albert Palpke of Sauk City, Wisconsin, sent in a question several weeks ago, and we haven't been able to answer it yet. Mrs. Palpke buys her full of pep fees in the Sauk Farm Bureau warehouse there, and she's wondering whether it would require more force or effort to fill a tank with oil by pumping the oil directly into it through the bottom, or to fill the tank by pumping the oil through a pipe leading up over the top. You have an oil tank there. There's a pipe going into it from the bottom. Should you pump the oil in there and let the oil rise in the tank, or should you have the pipe over the top and pump the oil up and let it fall down into the tank? Which would take the most effort if you had to do the pumping by hand? What would you say?
Well, I really don't know. My dad's over there. You might ask him. He's...
Oh, is your father
there? Yeah, he's better than that.
Oh,
sort of
say, thing. Isn't this what... We get a chance to talk to his dad. Mr. Hawk.
Yeah.
Huh? Mr. Hawk, you tell us then. Yes.
Oh, I don't think it'd make an awful lot of difference.
You don't?
No.
Well, let's send Owen to the library and let him find out. Owen, will you go up there and find out about it?
Yes, huh? I guess I'll be there.
You guess you'll be there. Go up, go back to that library and say, look, I've got a problem, Mrs. Anthony. Say, I've got to find out whether it takes more effort to pump oil into a tank from the bottom or from the top. Will you do that for me?
Yeah.
Come back next week and tell me, will you?
Okay.
Because goodness knows, we might have to pump oil into a tank, and we don't want to waste too much effort. All right, Owen?
Sure.
Thank you very much, Owen. You come back, let me know about that, all right?
Yeah.
Now, we have a letter here from Mrs. A.V. Molitor of Locust Valley, New York. She buys a full of pep feeds from Frank L. Hummerton's son in Glen Cove, Long Island, New York. And she's wondering about this problem of refrigeration.
Yes,
she
but says, how can you make sure the light goes off after you close the door?
No, she's not worried about that at all. She's found out about that.
Here,
she's had an argument with a friend of hers, Reggie, about whether an electric refrigerator uses more electricity in the summertime than in the wintertime. Now, she's of the opinion that since a refrigerator is insulated, it doesn't make any difference what the temperature is in the room. She believes it uses just about the same amount of electricity winter or summer. What do you think, sir?
She's right.
You think she's right? Uh-huh. The lady over here, yes?
I have to defrost more often in the summertime, so there must be a difference.
So you think you use more electricity?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, wait a minute. What'd you say, sir?
Her refrigerator isn't insulated properly.
Well, you fight with her about her refrigerator, and I'll talk to the lady over here, yes?
I agree with her, too. I defrost more in the summertime.
Well, does that mean you're using more electricity?
Well, I think so, yes.
Well, folks, would you try to investigate that for us, too, Owen?
Hey, wait a minute. Speaking of refrigerators, you know what the mayonnaise said to the lettuce? Shut the door, I'm dressing.
Oh, yeah, shut the door, I'm dressing. Owen, will you find out about that, too, whether refrigerators use more electricity in the summertime and the wintertime? We're going to keep you busy during the week. Thanks, Owen, very much.
Shut the door, I'm dressing.
In the meantime, send in your questions for use here at the farm.
Friends, send in a question for us to ask here at the Man on the Farm broadcast. We want questions of all kinds, questions from everyone everywhere. Write your question on a card or letter and mail it with your name of your full of pep dealer to Man on the Farm, care of this station. If the question you send can be used, it will be adapted for Chuck Akery to ask the folks here at the Full of Pep Farm, and you'll receive a 100-pound bag of Full of Pep Chick Starter.
And friends, the sooner you send your question, the better, for in the event similar questions are considered for use here at the farm, the one bearing the earliest postmark will be given preference. Send your question on either a card or a letter to the Man on the Farm, care of this station, and make certain the dealer whose name you send with your question is a Full of Pep dealer, so you can receive your Full of Pep Chick Starter.
It's awfully odd to notice how different the girls act who come in to get married. Some of them are scared, some of them are rather skittish and giddy about it, and some of them take it in their stride. So the first wedding I had, the girl, she took everything in her stride. When it was time to come in, she came in just like they're supposed to. Very dignified, like she's supposed to. When she got through, she went out, not too fast, not too slow. so happy she was married. 20 minutes later, we had another wedding, and the girl was a little embarrassed about the whole business. She was skitty and skittish, like this. And when she came in, I wanted to play the wedding march like this. Of course, I didn't, because you don't get checks if you fool around the church like this. But I wanted to, because here's the way she walked down the aisle, exactly like this. And she got up there, and she still was giddy while she was getting married. And when she turned around to go out, I wanted to play the march to go out like this.
Long hair. I seen a girl the other day get married. Her hair fell down to here. I picked it up and put it back in her head. she had a corsage of gardenias, and he had four roses in his stomach. What do you want, blood too?
Right after the show, to dance, and sandwich is served. Chicken house number two. Folks, if you want to join me on the course,
it'll be fun. Try it now before we go. That's go ahead, hit the chorus.
Just here's the way the chorus goes.
Now, friends, here's George Menard to sing another well-loved old hymn for us. Porter Heaps is at the Hammond organ while George Menard sings, Onward, Christian Soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Thanks, George Menard, and thanks, friends, for your many nice letters and for sending in the questions for the visits with the man on the farm. We're always glad to receive the letters from your listeners, and we'd like for you to be with us again next week for another half-hour visit with the man on the farm. In the meantime, remember,
the giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Yes, folks, Quaker Oats is the giant of the cereals. And here's a giant of an offer now being made by Quaker Oats. Quaker Oats offers you folks seven, yes, seven packages of flour seeds, the genuine Vaughn's flour seeds. And this is a regular $1.55 value, friends, but you get all seven packages for only 15 cents and one trademark from any package of Quaker or Mother's Oats. Just listen to what you get if you send right now.
You get one package of gorgeous super giant marigolds, one package of lovely dwarf petunias, one package of amazing special giant cosmos, one package of dainty violet queen alyssum, one package of ever-popular giant zinnias, one package of colorful long-stemmed calendulas, and one package of strikingly beautiful portulaca or moss rose. Seven packages in all. A regular $1.55 value. Send for yours right now so you'll have them in plenty of time for spring planting.
Friends, remember, you send only 15 cents. Only 15 cents and one trademark from any package of either Quaker or Mother's Oats. Be sure to print your name and your address and send to Flower Seeds, Box 6569, Chicago 77, Illinois. I'll repeat that address for you. It's Flower Seeds, Box 6569, Chicago 77, Illinois. Well, friends, be with us again next week for another visit with the man on the farm. We'll transcribe another visit with the man on the farm next week, same time.
Chuck Hickory transcribes these visits with the man on the farm each week at this time by special wire from the Fullapep Research Farm of the Quaker Oats Company, makers of Fullapep Feeds and Quaker and Mother's Oats.